Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
We've been hearing a lot, haven't we, about the squeezed middle recently, whether it's junior ministers calling for tax breaks for workers, proposals to increase tax bans, or even suggestions to abolish the USC. It's all aimed, it's claimed, at making life easier for a hard-pressed group of middle earners in Ireland. But who are the squeezed middle? And are they the group most deserving of financial help? I'm joined by Michelle Murphy, Research and Policy Analyst with Social Justice Ireland, and here in the studio by Bob Quinn, Certified Financial Planner and Principal of the Money Advisors in NAIS. And you're both very welcome. Thank you for being here. Michelle, who do you think the squeezed middle are?
Thank you, Claire. Well, I suppose that's the thing. There's been no definition. I mean, it tends to come up before elections. So Michael Noonan defined the squeezed middle back in 2015 as people earning between 32,800 and 70,000, which is a very broad range in terms of, you know, the most recent proposals in terms of tax cuts that you mentioned there. And junior ministers, there was no actual definition, although they referenced the figure of 52,000. But if you look at the CSO statistics, so if you look at just household income across the board, so not just households in work, but all households, the median disposable income in the country is 26,257. So that's one middle. If you look at wages, so if you're only going to be looking at households in employment, then the median annual wage from the CSO for 2021, that's the latest figure they have, is 41,222. So obviously there's a big gap between those two. But, you know, if you're looking at middle, then, you know, those are the kind of figures you need to be looking at. Mm-hmm. And then you target whatever policies you have towards those. But at the moment, what, you know, government has never really tried to explore what the middle is, you know, define the squeeze middle, and then, you know, what do they need in terms of support? Like, why are they squeezed in the first place?
Well, there might be a political reason for that, I suppose. Bob, who do you think the squeezed middle is?
Claire, it's very simple. It's a spectrum. It's not specifically one type of person. And I think this is where the argument is totally wrong. Leo and Fine Gael will talk about a squeeze middle in kind of absolute terms, say, well, it's someone who earns this amount of money. But the cynic in me would say, well, that's because you're appealing to certain types of voters and floating voters, if you like. But what I do in the Money Advisors is I deal with a broad range of people. And we're looking at lifestyle and position lifestyle. So if you're irrespective of what you earn, let's talk about the pressures you're under, the impact certain policies have on you. Three kids in creche will cost you €1,700 per month. When you have young children, you may typically have a big mortgage if you can get on the property ladder. So the squeeze middle isn't one particular person or people. It's a broad spectrum of people that have certain pressures and they're under certain pressures. And a policy should be formulated around a position in life and the position you occupy in a certain stage in your life.
So then anyone can self-diagnose themselves as being part of this group?
Well, absolutely. Let's talk about it in human capital versus financial capital terms. And if we look at it from a human capital term, if you're 42 years of age, three young kids, and you're earning X amount and you have a big mortgage, again, if you're lucky enough to be able to get on the property ladder, you have significant outgoings. You may have very little left by way of disposable income per month. If you are 56 years of age and single and you've paid off your two-bedroom apartment, you may have more disposable income than someone who's on six figures in a different stage in life. So if you look at that in an absolutist perspective, you'd say, well, actually, the person who's on six figures, clearly they're very wealthy and they're doing very well. That doesn't bear out in reality whatsoever.
But they've made choices. You know, they should have enough money. They've made choices so that they might be feeling the pinch at the end of the month. Entirely up to them.
There's a lot of things the people who, as you say, make choices can't control. We can't control the cost of childcare. We can't easily control whether or not mortgage interest rates are going to increase. We can't control a lot of aspects to that position in life. The few things that are controllable, fine. But there's an awful lot of things that that so-called squeeze middle, if you like, the impacts of government policy with the stroke of a ministerial pen can change everything for that cohort, if you like. So the people that are under more pressure than somebody else, and this shouldn't be a case of, well, I'm under more pressure than you, Claire, or Claire's under more pressure than somebody else. it's a case of it's a spectrum. Can we all agree from a Social Justice Ireland perspective, from a private financial planning perspective, that there's lots of people that are left with very little at the end of the month? And if we look at it from a spectrum perspective...
Let's see if Michelle agrees with that, that the squeezed middle is actually a spectrum and the policy should be in place to help all of those people who are dealing with the pressures of mortgages and childcare and rent and so on.
I mean, it is absolutely a spectrum, Claire, because generally we look at things through income deciles and try and divide cohorts up that way. But if you're going to focus, for example, on families and employment, I mean, the reality is for that cohort that we're talking about is because we don't provide the services or the subsidised services, things like childcare, healthcare, transport, it means, you know, they have to pay for all of that through their disposable income. So if you look at enhancing the non-pay returns to workers, and that means substantial public investment in the social wage through things like expanded public services, better public provision of childcare, and we've made some progress there, but we've a long way to go in terms of reducing the cost for families, in terms of reducing the cost for transport, in terms of looking at elder care is another part that doesn't really get talked about, but it does become an issue for families. So how do we look at that? So, you know, that means, as Bob said, targeted interventions. And a lot of the political discussion is on a very broad stroke measure of, for example, either raising the tax band, either eliminating or the USC, which is a very broad stroke, which is not going to target,
I'm not sure that's what Bob is saying. And Bob, you can clarify this for us, because Michelle, whenever we speak, you always talk about targeting measures. And I'm thinking in particular of the energy grant where everybody got the €200 three times. Mm-hmm. And you said that should be targeted. Bob, you're saying that there are people who will be earning good money who are in just as much difficulty as somebody who is on a very low salary. Isn't that your point?
That's exactly my point.
So therefore, Michelle, he's saying you can't target at people who are on a low income, because you'll have people on higher incomes who've three children and who are paying rent who are in dire straits.
But you can. For example, you can expand eligibility for those families to things like the fuel allowance, for example, expand eligibility for the back to school clothing and footwear allowance, expand eligibility or increase the thresholds for things like the medical card. Those are ways that you can support those families. Because if you look between 2014 and 2023, people might realise it, but there has been significant tax reductions. So just take a single person on 60,000. They've seen their overall tax reduction in that period of €3,540, but they don't seem to be much better off. Why is that? Because that's not targeted. And the other things that they have to pay for out of their pocket, the costs of that are going up. So the question we have to ask is there a better way to support that household beyond a very broad stroke tax reduction that doesn't work? So expanding, using that money to expand that eligibility, to increase those thresholds. And like, obviously, housing costs are one of the biggest pressures on family at the moment. No matter how much you cut your tax, that's not going to reduce the cost of housing for people.
Yeah, I'm just not sure, though, if I would ever expect you to argue in favour of a household which is bringing in 100,000, getting fuel allowance and a medical card.
Well, I mean, it's up to government to set the threshold. I mean, certainly from a Social Justice Ireland perspective, we are focused on those households in the bottom 20, 30% who are under the most pressure. But if there are households there, and there are households, for example, who are under pressure in terms of mortgages at the moment, who are on trackers and the rates increases, you know, government, there is a swathe of team of really good civil servants there. If you really want, and, you know, if governments were really interested in supporting those households and families, they would develop policies to do that. You can argue about the positives and the negatives and the financial impact of it. But the way they've gone about it at the moment hasn't worked and has cost a significant amount of money to the Exchequer.
Do you think that a household, Bob, on 100,000, with all of the pressures that I outlined, should be getting more in terms of state support?
Absolutely. I don't approach this in an absolutist term. And I know what Social Justice Ireland does, and it's very good in advocating for a certain type of, I suppose, lower income earner, if you like, and those that are on social protection benefits. But at the same time, I see day in, day out, and this is... The people that are on six figures, it's assumed that, look, you're rich, you're on six figures. But people that are earning good money oftentimes act up to their income, in the sense that a family of five will pay 4,000 euro from their after-tax income to afford private health insurance, which is the type of thing you're going to do if you get an opportunity to do so.
No one's forcing you to do that.
No one's forcing you to do it. But at the same time, there are certain elements that we will take on if you're in that position. Childcare. Is childcare a choice? Well, if you decide to have a family and you have two or three children, I have three children. Was that a choice? It absolutely was. We're paying 1,700 euro a month. But there are issues that we can't control. And again, I bring it back to talking about it being a spectrum. Focusing in on only one element within that spectrum doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And it's doing everyone else that's in a difficult position, a bit of a disservice, because at the end of the month, what do you have left? Is it because you party 24/7? No. Most people that are out there are taking on car loans, are taking on credit union loans, are trying to get on. But there's then also a significant cohort out there that don't have any provisions for the future, that haven't actually contributed to pensions. We don't have an auto-enrollment pension scheme, for instance. We can talk about security then within the spectrum.
Okay. So I have a message here. The so-called squeeze middle are those of us who pay for absolutely everything and are entitled to absolutely nothing. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. There's a sandwich generation, elderly parents, young kids. Talk about nursing home care. If you've got elderly parents, one of them is in a nursing home, it's oftentimes down to the children to make a contribution for that care. And then you're looking at childcare. So again, what can that sandwich generation control? Not a whole lot. They've been beaten up badly at every end of the spectrum, if you like. We all agree every end of the spectrum needs supports. Targeting just the lower end of the spectrum would be a terrible injustice.
All right, we need to leave that one there. But Bob Quinn and Michelle Murphy, thank you both for joining us this morning. There have been some lively exchanges in the Dáil this morning, which I want to bring you now, between the Tánaiste Micheál Martin and People Before Profit TD Paul Murphy. This was following a question from Paul Murphy about the Consultative Forum on Neutrality and his reservations about the speakers invited to participate in that forum. Let's hear some of it.
But what you are trying to suggest is certain people can't speak because they have a view. That is what you're saying. They should not be allowed to speak. If there's up to 50 or 60 speakers, if one or two have views that are contrary,
one or
Deputy
two.
Murphy and Deputy Boyd Barrett, then they should not speak. That is intolerance. You guys are no great advocates of freedom of speech at all. Uh-huh. And I shudder to think of the day when you would ever be in authority. Because by God, would you put the jackboot on people who might have views different to yours? That's where you guys are coming from. That's where I stand.
Can I ask the T-shirt to withdraw that?
I will not withdraw
anything. Can I ask that to withdraw that? I'm asking you right now, because in the past there was an issue about not asking for it immediately. He said that if we were in power, we'd put the jackboot on people. Could I ask him to withdraw that comment?
I'm not withdrawing. Like, we're in a parliament. Mm-hmm. I believe fundamentally in the right of freedom of expression in this parliament.
I've
witnessed the deputies opposite make all sorts of comments about people.
That's okay, we're not going to have a debate.
It's a bit rich for Deputy Murphy to be looking for.
Can we through the chair?
He's getting somewhat squeamish now, I would say.
Can we do this through the chair, please?
I do want to ask the chair. I asked the chair to, that he's in breach of standing orders, saying that we would put a jackboot on people if we're in power and ask them to withdraw.
I'm entitled to an opinion.
You're in breach of standing orders.
Through the chair, you've just made an assertion that certain people shouldn't be on a platform.
We didn't. Stop lying about what we said.
Thank you.
Tense stuff there in the Dáil in the last little while between Paul Murphy and the Tánaiste Micheál Martin. Back after this.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.